Yes, praise the Lord. Well, you're loved. You're in a good place. Amen. How many of you received the text message here today? Yeah, so you know the direction we're going. Amen. I'm excited about it. And if you'll turn with me in your Bibles over to Psalm 50, go over to Psalm chapter 50. We're going to start in verse 4, and we're going to call this message here tonight, What If Money Was No Longer an Issue? What if money was no longer an issue? How many of you know we said it during prayer there? We just said it a moment ago. Of course, one of the Old Testament names of God the Father is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. If we had understanding for one half a second how much our Father has, how much He owns, we would never, ever, ever again doubt His supply towards us. Amen. And well, how many of you know if you're His child, He is going to take care of you? You're not going to lack. Amen. And so tonight, you know that over the last several weeks Wednesday nights, we've been talking about prosperity. We've been talking about the balanced approach, the balanced, the rightfully divided word of God concerning the fact that God wants to take care of us. Amen. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body, right? And so we've been looking at that. And we're going to continue along that line here tonight. And we're calling this again, What If Money Was No Longer an Issue? You know, of course, we have to deal with it. It's something that, you know, comes up in our life all the time. You know, of course, it took finances to be here. It took, finances to put, you know, fuel in your vehicle and so on. And, I mean, all these things that we have to do in life. Let's just get God's take on it. Because so many times we get wrong thinking, you know, pertaining to finances. We start to worry about it. You know, my goal, you know, of course, I believe the Spirit's goal. I think the Word of God, His goal, is that we would never worry about money one day in our lives. That we would never think twice about His supply towards us. Amen. And when you hear this message, you think, well, here comes the church. They're going to, you know, they're talking about this. And so they're ministering on finances. And so it's just going to be, hey, just give all your money to the church kind of message. No, that's not the point of the message. The point of the message is to stir our faith, to build our faith in the plan and purposes of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, people think that money would no longer be an issue if they just had more of it. You know what I mean? If they just, you know, what would solve the money issue is if they just had more money. Yeah, you know? But, you know, if they just had a lot more, you know, so much that it would never be needed to think about again. But, you know, here's just the truth, and here's just one thing that we need to understand. There are a lot of people in this world that have a lot of money. And how many of you know that no matter how much they get, they still think about it? Right? You know, because with the more money you get, the more expensive things you buy. And the more expensive things you buy, the more that it takes to maintain those things. And of course, we know this, the more you obtain, the more you have to maintain, right? And so we just think, well, money came in, well, then I would never have to think about it again. Well, sometimes people, they get more money, they have to think about it even more. And so we know it's not the amount of money or the lack of the amount of money that somebody has that makes money the issue. What makes money the issue is when you make money the issue. And you're going to see what I mean by that. You know, when you're dwelling on it all the time, whether you have a lot or you have a little at the moment, you're making money the issue. See, when you make it the pursuit in life, when you make it your bullseye in life, then you've made money your main issue. When you make money your main issue, I will guarantee you it will run from you. But when you make God, your covenant Father, the main issue in your life, amen, He's going to take care of you. How many of you know you're in covenant with the God who owns it all? No. I didn't just say you know the God who owns it all. I didn't just say you know who He is or you know His name. You are in covenant with the God who owns it all. He adopted you into His house, called you His sons and daughters. How many of you know right then and there money is no longer an issue? Why is it no longer an issue? Because my Father has it all. And God is not going to let me be devoured in this life. Amen. Glory to God. And so people make money the issue. Yeah, see, you know, what makes money the issue in their lives? They think about it all the time. They dwell on it all the time. If we're not careful, we'll make money a main issue in the body of Christ. It need not to be. You know, we're living in the days and the times. Come here, you sucker. The question, oh, see, is he gonna hang around long enough for me to get them? Praise the Lord, you know. Just when we think we're done with the last of those buggers, glory to God. They seem to really like this new pulpit. So do I. And so that's a good thing, because the shepherd's staff is ready here tonight. Glory to God. Amen. And so if we're not careful, we'll make money a main issue in the body of Christ. All of a sudden, you know, entire ministries are founded upon it. And thank God for good, solid Bible teaching on finances. We need to know what God says to do, and we need to have wisdom and the Word of God. But all of a sudden, the next thing you know, we make entire ministries founded on it. And, you know, and it's good to write books. Praise God. Thank God for good, you know, Bible teaching, you know, resources that help us and stuff. But the next thing you know, we're debating, you know, how much is too much? How little is too little? You know what I mean? How much money should a preacher have? How much should he not have? How much money is too much for a Christian? How much is too little? You know what I mean? How much should your house be worth? How little should it be worth? You know what I mean? How much is too good? Is there such a thing? How much is not good enough? What level does prosperity actually become real? You know what I mean? And so we start to debate these things, and we start to make our purpose that, you know, how low is, you know, our thinking? Is our thinking too high? You know, all these questions that arise about the prosperity message in the body of Christ. Well, let's just do ourselves a favor and not make money the main issue, because it shouldn't be the main issue. Amen. Let's make God the Father the issue. Amen. And I'll tell you what, we're going to see when you start to get a revelation of how abundant God is, how well supplied He is, it won't be an issue in your mind anymore. You'll just, when God speaks and tells you to do something, you'll do it. Money won't say you can't do that or you can do that. Money doesn't say, well, you can, you know, have this much, but you can't have enough. And, you know, you can have this job, but not that job. Amen. So let's go over to Psalm chapter 50. And let's get some perspective. Yeah. Christians are always out there trying to decide what we can afford. Should we buy this? Should we not buy that? Is it going to make somebody stumble, or is it going to make me just be a better witness to God? Which one is it? Well, let's just get the word on it. Amen. What if money was no longer an issue in your mind? What if you never worried about it again? Well, some people say, well, Pastor, you know, that's easy for someone to say because they make triple what I make or whatever. No. I didn't make this an issue of what your salary is or how much your bank account is worth or anything. But what if money was no longer an issue in your mind ever again because you know who the Father is? Amen. Go over there to Psalm 50, and let's start in verse 4. We're going to read right down through verse 14 or 15. We're going to read it, and then we're going to go back, and we're going to go verse by verse, because I think something really interesting is taking place in this passage of Scripture. Verse 4 says, it's talking about God. It says, He, the Father, shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that He may judge His people. All right, so this is God now dealing with His people. How many of you know we're included in that? All right. And verse 5 makes that even more clear. It says, gather my saints together unto me, that those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Everyone say covenant. Do we have anyone here tonight that's in covenant with God? If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then you are in covenant with Him. And you need, if you're ever going to know God your Father, you're going to need to know that word covenant. You're absolutely going to have to know what that means. It means you are bound to Him. It means everything that's His is yours, and everything that's yours is His. It means that He gives to you, and you give to Him. Amen. He loves you, you love Him. Amen. And so verse 6, it says, and the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, He says, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. He says, I will not reprove or correct or punish you for the sacrifices or your burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock, yes, and out of your house, nor he goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Yeah, we're going to get talking about this. He says, I know all the fowls of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the field, they're mine. God says. God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. God says, will I eat the flesh of a bull or drink the blood of goats? And we're going to get into this. This is going to get fun. This is real fun. God says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High. He says, and call me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and you shall glorify me. Woo, praise the Lord. Go back up to verse 4. Now let's go verse by verse and get something out of this, all right? Amen. Verse 4, he says, he shall call to the heavens and to the earth that he may judge his people. How many of you know God's setting this passage up? He's saying, I'm going to correct you about some things. This is the judgment of God for those that were making offerings to him. Woo, here we go. Yeah. The judgment of his people. This is where people are about to learn what God was really after and what he really wanted from us the whole time. All right, he's now going to deal with them about, all right, you've been giving me this, but this is what I really wanted. This is awesome. I love this passage of scripture. Verse 5, God says, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Who's that? That's us in here, right? How many of you have entered into covenant with God through a sacrifice of Jesus Christ? So now this verse is talking to us. It's not only talking to us, but it was also talking to Israel in the day. But we have the ultimate covenant. We have the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? And now we've entered into this relationship of giving and receiving from God our Father. How many of you know he gave to us? Yeah. How many of you know we should love to give to him? Yeah. Praise the Lord. He says, gather those that are in covenant by sacrifice. That's us. Through the sacrifice of Jesus. Now the Father starts talking in terms of the offering from God to man, but also from man to God. The offering. How many of you know God made us an offering? He gave an offering for us, the ultimate, Jesus, his Son. That was an offering to us. Yeah, and now we give offerings to him, not because out of law or out of rules, but because we love him. Why did God give an offering to us? Because was there a rule telling God to give us Jesus? Did God have a written rule that came from somewhere else or even himself that said that he had to give his son? No, because rules didn't tell him. Law didn't tell him what to give. His heart, his love gave Jesus to us. And so you know back in the Old Testament that God had commanded them to bring offerings of sacrifice, meaning the animals and so on. Remember the bulls and the goats and the lambs and the sheep and the turtle doves and, you know, all those sacrifices. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that anymore? You know, you hope you didn't bring your turtle dove here tonight. You know, you didn't bring your fatted calf or anything. It really would make a mess on our carpet, and we're glad. You know, some Christians, you know, new Christians, they say, well, why did God do that then but not now? Because God replaced those blood sacrifices with a greater one. The blood sacrifice of Jesus. All right? And so this is now talking in terms of the offering, what was given between God and man. Now look at verse 6. We're going to get to some good stuff here. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. And so God is saying, what I'm about to say, it's right. God is letting us know his judgment is correct. He's saying his way of thinking is the right way of thinking. Glory to God, all right? And he's going to straighten out these thinkers here, all right? Verse 7, he goes on, he says, hear, O people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Wow. He says, now I'm going to testify against you. He's saying to Israel, there's something you missed. There's something even in all your offerings, in all your obedience, everything you were supposed to do, I have to correct you because you got something wrong. See, come on. Woo! I like this. Praise the Lord. He says, I have something against you in your offerings and I'm going to correct it. Verse 8. But he goes on to say, look what he says in verse 8. He says, I will not reprove you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings that you've continually brought before me. He's saying, I'm not saying those sacrifices were wrong. He said, I'm not going to punish you for this. He's like, you were doing what you were supposed to do. God said, I'm not mad that you were bringing me offerings. God's not going to say, oh, you know, you brought me offerings and now I'm going to punish you for it. He's saying, no, I'm not going to correct you in the sense that the offering, you know, you were bringing the offering correctly in terms of technically what I said. You were following the rules. You were doing things according to my word. He's like, I'm not going to punish you for this, but there's something you missed. Woo! Here we go. All right. Okay, so that was right to do. You were doing the right. I'm not going to punish you, but there's something you missed. Now, let's read verses 9, 10, and 11. Look at this. He says, I will take no bull out of your house, nor he goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He says, I know all the fowls of the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field, they're mine, God says. All right? What is he saying? All right. He is basically, God is saying, you know, go to verse 9 there. He said, I will take no bullock that or goat from you. You say, well, what do you mean? You know, God commanded them to bring the bulls and the goats, right? What he's saying here, he's saying, you know those bulls and those goats that you've been bringing me this whole time? I'm just really here to let you know they were really mine the whole time. He said, I didn't take anything out of your folds. Because Israel, they had this idea that those animals were theirs. They thought that their possessions, they thought that their wealth, they thought that their money was theirs. And God's just letting them know, you know what? You've been doing right. I'm not going to punish you. But I just got to correct something in your thinking. You know all that time those animals you were bringing me and you thought you were giving them to me? Yeah, they were really all mine all the time. Yeah. Glory to God. He says, the Father is saying, anything I commanded you to give that was yours wasn't really yours. It was always mine. He's saying in those verses, those animals that you thought were yours the whole time, yeah, they really belong to me already. Wow, praise God. We're going to start applying this to us. Do you think it's any different with us? Oh, what we bring to God and we think that we're giving to Him, you know, we still think, you know, that it's, you know, we still think that it's ours, you know. Well, how many of you know it's still God's? The things that we receive from God, the increase in the prosperity that He gives to us, guess whose it still is? It's still His. All right, whether you got a $50,000 house, whether you got a $500,000 house, whether you got a $2 million house or you got the latest and greatest car or whatever it is, guess what? It's still His. Whether your car is 20 years old or brand new, guess who it is? It's still His. Yeah. Amen. What is God saying here? God's saying, I'm not impressed with whatever level because whatever level you obtain is still mine. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. Amen. Now look at verse 12. This is going to get really interesting. He says this. God said, this is God the Father speaking. He says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. How many of you know God doesn't get hungry? Don't you love almost like the sarcasm and sense of humor of God? See, they were bringing Him animals. And He's saying, you know, they were sacrificing them. Remember then, they would butcher them, put them on the altar. God said, I didn't call you to bring me those animals because it was about those animals. I didn't call you to bring those animals to me because I'm hungry. Isn't that awesome? He says, I didn't have you bring me those animals because I was hungry. God was saying, I have everything. I'm never hungry. I never lack. I am always in complete fullness and abundance. I never lack anything. So you weren't bringing me these animals because I needed it. God is trying to tell them, you weren't bringing me those animals because I needed those animals. He says, because the ones that are still up there on the mountains, they're mine. The birds back there on the other side of the mountain range, those are mine too. Those ones that are 1,000 miles away right now that you can't see, they're mine. He's just letting them know, oh, by the way, all those offerings, you weren't doing me a favor. I was doing you the favor. Offerings, you know, aren't about God in terms of they don't help Him. They help us. We need the offering to give more than He needs to receive it. Are you getting a little of this? Praise the Lord. He says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He says, I don't lack anything. But if I did, I would just go take it because it's all mine. He has everything. Amen. And then, of course, verse 13, God says, will I eat the flesh of bulls? He says, you brought me a bull to sacrifice. You brought me your best bull, but guess what? I don't eat bull. He's an old bull God. He doesn't put up with bull. You know, they brought him the meat. He's like, I don't eat that. You can bring me a perfect lamb. I don't eat that either. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, see, we got to look at the scriptures and we casually read these passages. God is getting real sarcastic with the Jews. He said, yeah, you can bring me that perfect bull. That's great. That was your best of your herd. But guess what? I don't eat that meat. I don't eat the lamb. I don't eat the goat that you bring me either. God was trying to say, guess what? It wasn't about the animal. Come on. He said, God was saying, I never lack. I live in abundance, more than enough. I'm never without. I'm complete and in utter fullness at every given moment all the time. See, if you start to develop this idea that you're doing God a favor, he's not going to receive the offering. Well, I'm just doing God a favor. Come on now. And now look what he says in verse 14. Now he tells us what he really wanted the whole time. They were bringing the offerings that were technically correct, but they weren't really touching the heart of God. In verse 14, God says, offer unto me, God the Father, thanksgiving. Pay your vows unto the Most High. The word vow means a covenant promise. He's saying, don't just, you know, come, you know, with that animal. It wasn't about the animal. He says, I got all the animals in the whole wide world. He said, I was giving you the opportunity to join your heart to me. I was giving you an opportunity to pay your vow to me. I was giving you something tangible that you could bring to the house of God. Amen. So you could keep your hearts connected in this covenant. Man, I'll tell you what, praise the Lord. He said, I don't need the bull meat. I don't need the goat meat, and I don't need the lamb meat either. God said, I don't eat meat. I do, but he doesn't. All right. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. So now, how does this apply to us? All that money that you've been putting in the offering for years that you thought was yours and that we thought we were doing a favor for God, guess what? It was already his. He does not need that money for himself personally. You understand that? You know, we've talked to you about, you know, the back scenes of ministry. When we take up an offering at the church, it does not go to heaven. You know, we don't hand it off to an angel and he flies it up to God. You know, it stays right on this earth. It keeps these lights on. Amen. It supplies the needs of the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God was letting us know that the whole time, all this was really his. All that you thought was yours this whole time isn't at all. It was always his, right? God is telling us, I command that you bring money to the house of God, but it wasn't because God was broke or he had bills to pay or he ever lacked for 1 second, all right? This would apply to us, you know, and you know, if God was saying this to us today, do I need that money? Do I have a delinquent loan to pay off? He would say, I own it all. The money that's the gold in Fort Knox is mine. Can we bring that up right now? Can you bring up Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8? I want to show you another scripture here. Haggai 2:8, just where the Lord just makes it very clear what is exactly is his, right? Haggai 2:8, amen. And you can go ahead and read that. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. So everything belongs to him anyway. When you give God an offering, you're just giving him what's already his. So we got to ask ourselves, here's the purpose of it. What benefit does it do for God personally? None. Thank God that he's giving us a tangible way to pay our covenant vows. See, our covenant vows means, God, I love you. God, I give to you. Amen. And so that is why I tangibly bring something to the Lord. All right. Glory to God. So what is the point here? What is the point that God is trying to make to us? Money was never the issue. Money was never the issue. Because God said, you can bring me all the money in the world. Guess what? It's already mine. I could give you all the money in the world. God would still say, guess what? It's already mine.
Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. We're gonna see just exactly how this is going to affect us. Amen.
God wanted to see our generosity. He wanted to see if our hearts would display our gratitude to Him. He wanted to see if we would be faithful and generous to our covenant vows. When God commands us in His Word to tithe, He's giving us an opportunity, amen, to prove to Him that we'll be faithful to it. Of course, and we know that the benefit, it goes to serve the gospel. We know that it pays for the local church. We know that it preaches, it gives influence to the gospel here on this earth. But how many of you know with God the Father, money was never the issue? It can't be the issue with Father God because He has it all already. So the question then begs to be asked, how come Christians don't have it all? Meaning, how come there are sinners in this world that don't know God that have far more money than people that do know God? Why is that? Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Praise the Lord. God was letting us know it was never about the money. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So what does it mean? It means that money is not an issue anymore. It means that money is not an issue anymore. Because now He told us we are in covenant with Him. He's letting us know, by the way, you're in covenant with the one that owns it all. What does that do to your faith when it comes time to pay the house bill, pay the mortgage, pay the utilities? See, God is letting us know that there is a supply that is ever present that will rise to meet every need, pay every debt, and to fund the plan of God in your life. No matter where you are at, God never lacks. He's not scared of the sinners that have more money than you because it's already His. Oh, come on. We don't have to wonder how much is too much, how little is too little, because it's all His. And if it's all His, what does that mean for your life? It means that you are in covenant with Him. That means that when you pay your covenant vows, God is going to determine to meet and supply all your needs abundantly. You will never again have to worry about money. Your Father owns it all. You'll never have to worry about being critical against a Christian that has more than you because it belongs to the Father. Come on now, money is not the issue. How do we know? Because God owns it all. All right. Let me put it in this illustration for us. When it comes to terms of the value of certain items that we someone's assets, somebody's belongings. How much is something worth? How many of you know that we're all at different places financially? We're all at different places, financially, but how many of you know God doesn't look at that and judge your spirituality, all right? Because to God, what is the difference whether you're living in a $100,000 house or a $50,000 house, or a $200,000 house or a $2 million house? What does it matter to Him? You know why? Because all of them are a dump to Him. What if you own a $10 million house? I see TV shows trying to expose a preacher who's got this and that. He's got a $10 million house. Guess what? His home is still a dump compared to where God lives. You could live in the Taj Mahal. You could own Trump Tower. It's still a garbage hole to Him. It's a dump. You know what I mean? So what am I saying? No matter where you are at, don't you be looking at what other people have or don't have. The goal is to follow God, to make sure He's getting the offering of thanksgiving, amen, and that you're paying your covenant vows. God said, you brought me all this. He said, you brought me all this, but you gave me no gratitude. He said, I wasn't trying to give you that rule to bring something to me so that we could say you followed the rule. He said, I wanted to see if you would give back to me to say thank you. Come on now. Come on, I'll tell you what, the most generous giver is going to be the one that is grateful. Remember the woman with the alabaster box? Remember the ointment that she put on Jesus' feet? That gift was worth 1 year's salary, roughly, about 300 days' salary. A very expensive bottle of perfume in those days, and that woman smashed it and put it and just rubbed it on Jesus' feet. Remember that? Why did she do such a, why did she pay such great honor to Jesus? Because she was the most grateful. Remember, she had been delivered from prostitution. See, remember when Jesus said to those that, you know, have received much, they give much? She was so grateful to God for his mercy. Amen. And she saw, that is my covenant God. That is Jehovah sitting at that table. And she didn't think it any small thing to give that to the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember the religious devil there, Judas, he got all upset. He said, oh, my goodness, that was such a waste. And Jesus said, it's not a waste. Why? Because she gave it out of love and gratitude. She gave it out of love and gratitude. She didn't give that because she had to. She gave that because she wanted to. Amen. See, that's what prosperity is. It is a give and take covenant with our Father God. Praise the Lord. You know? And so that's why I'm saying if the body of Christ isn't careful, we start to make money the main issue. See, we have to be careful. Money is not the main issue. The main issue is thanksgiving. The main issue is covenant vow. You know, the main issue is just to be faithful and to be generous, not to pursue money in this life. I'm telling you, God is saying, yeah, you gave a lot to me. And God said, but I still got something against you. He said, look at all the Israel's giving me. They give me all the animals. They did everything, you know, they did all this stuff. He's like, but I wanted the offering of thanksgiving. He said, I wanted you just to pay your covenant vow because you loved me. You know what I mean? Not to bring those animals and give those offerings just to get something out of me. How can you get something out of God? Think about it. Now, yeah, of course we have to believe and we receive, you know, his promises by faith, right? But how do we get God to give us something? If you're asking yourself that question, your thinking is already wrong. I'm not in a relationship to get something out of God. I'm just paying my covenant vows. I'm pleasing his heart, and he will reward me for my diligently following him. Amen. Glory to God. If you make sure the offering of thanksgiving and sincerity is upon the altar of God, there is no limit what he's going to do and how he's going to take care of you. Praise the Lord. How do you get something out of God? You don't. You don't get God like, oh, here I am, God. See this, God? You see this? Boom. You better do this now. He don't work that way. See, now he said, yeah, he's like, I'm not going to punish you for, you know, putting those offerings. He's like, but your heart wasn't in it. He said, I just wanted you to give because of gratitude. I wanted, God is saying to us, that he wants us to have prosperity because it's his way of showing us he loves us. Amen. Let me show you the good news now, because if our Father God has it all, the good news is he's not a withholder. He's not a withholder. You're in the book of Psalms there. Hey, why don't you go over to chapter 84. Praise the Lord. What if money was no longer an issue? I got news for you. If you're born again, if you're living in the kingdom of God, if you're in God's house, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you're in his family, guess what? It's already paid. Yeah. But do you know that already? Or are you just like these Jews who are, you know, walking up to the offering, you know, walking up to the altar, hoping that God, you know what I mean? Come on now. Do we realize what it means when something belongs to God? What does it mean when something belongs to the Father? Someone answer me. What's it mean? When something belongs to the Father, it is? It's ours. Oh, my goodness. Christians are sitting around. We just need more money. If we had just had more money, then our ministry would flourish. Oh, if we just had more money, if we just had more, If we just had more and had more, if we just had more, we'd finally do something good for God. God isn't waiting for us to say, oh God, I need more. He's waiting for his people to wake up and say, I'm in covenant with a God who owns it all. Money is no longer an issue. It doesn't lead me. It doesn't guide me. Come on now. See, I'm hoping this gets over to you. See, when are you going to reach into that fullness that God has for you? When money is no longer an issue. Say, well, it'll be no longer an issue once I get this many zeros in my... No. You've missed it. See, the reason why money is still an issue for you, because it's still an issue for you. I'm going to say that over and over again, because until that clicks, because you think about it, you know, it's amazing how hard Christians try to get money from God. Stop trying to get money from God. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense. Oh, we just hit this. Let me read the verse. You know, if you would just relax. If you just relax a little bit and rest. If we would actually get into the rest of faith that we were singing about tonight, guess what? Let's just read the verse. I was praying all night for that money. Really? Why? It's already yours. I was fighting in faith. Trying to pry God's fingers off my blessing. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Got to have the sun. You know, if everything's going to grow and live, it's the life of this planet, right? A shield protects us. And he says, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, from them that pay their covenant vows, them that are in covenant with him. God will not withhold. God is not withholding any of that which he owns. Well, I'll tell you what, that's good news, because he says, all the silver and gold is mine. Come on. When I see, you know, whether it's a minister or another Christian, if they have way more money than me, I rejoice. Because it's still God's. Come on. See, when you get this revelation, money will not move you high or low. Does that make sense? You know, where all of a sudden, you know, see, when money is no longer an issue for you, you won't put a certain amount on prosperity. You know what I mean? Because when money is no longer an issue, if money is not your guiding force in this life, the only other choice is, Father, what do you want me to do? Money doesn't lead me. Money doesn't take me to this place or that place. So if I'm no longer a money-minded person, then the only other option is to do what God says to do. And what happens when you do what God says to do? He's going to fund the plan of God in your life. He's going to fund the plan of God in your life because he's not withholding. He says, if you walk uprightly, if you do what I say to do, if you're a covenant son and daughter, if you're obedient and follow my plan, I'm withholding nothing from you. Glory to God. All right, I'm going to just keep saying these things because I still feel like it's not getting through. Do you understand? You can look at a Christian who's just getting started in their walk with God or wherever they are with God, and they might not have much. All right, or you see another Christian who has every worldly possession you can imagine. Guess what? Because I know money's not an issue, all right, I don't judge the one that has less. And I don't judge the one who has more. I don't care how many Christian preachers have jets and Rolls Royces. I don't care because money is not an issue. Does this make sense? I don't personally own a jet. I don't personally own a Rolls Royce. You honestly couldn't give me one. I'll tell you why. I like my pickup truck better. I do. Yeah, I would say, Pastor, you'd take a Ford F-150 over a Rolls Royce? Yes. That's just my life. That's, you know what I mean? My joy is full in that truck. I don't have to try to look like something or be something. If I hear a preacher, I heard, you know, a preacher down in the South, we'll just leave it at that, a Southern preacher, he, a large congregation got together and bought him a $250,000 car. He didn't ask for it. He didn't do anything. They took up an offering. There's 25,000 people in his church, so it's $10 a person. Seriously. Bought him a car. Showed him, you know, and he was like, wow, oh my goodness. He's like, this is just incredible. I don't even know what to say. And, of course, the news media got a hold of it and ran him down, and people criticized him and all this and that. He finally just said, I don't want all the, sorry, everybody, thank you very much. But he gave away the car. He had to sew it because, you know, everyone came down on it. But to see if money's not an issue, I don't care if I see a Christian driving a 20-year-old car, I don't judge them. And if I see someone driving a $250,000 brand new car, I don't judge them either. Come on. See, when money's not an issue, it removes the criticism. It removes the judgmental. Why? Because that vehicle, it was a Bentley, by the way, that they purchased for that preacher. They bought him a Bentley. Guess what? That Bentley, even brand new off the showroom, is a piece of junk compared to what God has in heaven. The Bible says that he rides upon the wings of a cherub. You know what I mean? God's not impressed with your Bentley. Nor is he depressed with your Chevy Cobalt or whatever you're driving. You might be depressed about that. But you know what I'm saying? God is not moved. He is not in it about the amounts or what it is. He's in it to see, where's your heart? Where's your heart? What do you do for God? Are you faithful to him? You don't look at a Christian's car and make a judgment call. You say, well, that's, you know, listen, you don't look and say, well, that's a Ford pickup and that's a Rolls Royce. Well, of course, well, that Rolls Royce is prosperity. But not to me, it's not. If someone came to me and said, I'll give you this Rolls Royce, but you have to drive it every day for the rest of your life, that'd be like putting me in jail. Oh, someone's going to run with that comment. Someone's going to run with that comment. What I'm saying is, I want to drive a truck. That's my heart's desire. So you can't put someone else's desire, you can't put your own mental definition of prosperity on somebody else. Do you understand? Well, I hope I'm making a point here. See, if your heart is just to follow God and to give him the sacrifice of gratitude, if you are walking with him fully, he will not withhold from you. He's going to increase you. He's going to bless your family. He's going to bless your home. He's going to bless your business. Come on now. Say, well, man, I tell you what. I'm going to say something that's going to, again, this is designed to try to destroy the limits on your thinking. All right, we just talked about a Bentley. Talked about a car. $250,000. That is the top of the line. You know, but it's still a limit. Do you realize it's still a limit? Does that make sense? Okay. You know, there are other things that are within the heart of man and desires in their heart concerning their children, concerning family, concerning health, you know, that they desire far more than that car. And that money can buy that car, but money can't buy a child. Money can't buy, you know, a restored son or daughter. Come on, money can't bring them back. Do you understand where I'm going with this? See, when you say, well, my limit of prosperity is this level of a house and this level of a car. See, even though that's an extremely high level for you, it's still a limit. It's still a limit. Oh, you need to ask yourself, but is there something else that you'd rather have than that home or that vehicle? Well, I mean, yeah, if you put it that way, I'd rather see my siblings get saved. Oh, yeah, so now, that's why you can't put a limit on prosperity, because prosperity is not limited to only money. Well, it'd be prosperity if my house was worth this much. No, see, you know what you did. You don't see, that seemed like a high stretch for you, but it was still a limit. God does exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. See, I'm trying to blow the doors off your thinking. Listen, I don't want to go and tell God this is the height of what I think prosperity should be, because let me tell you, he's got things in his mind that far exceed and are far better than we could ever dream of. You know what I mean? And Christians are getting tripped up on the high numbers or getting tripped up on the low numbers. But if you saw where God was sitting right now for 2 seconds, you would never get tripped up again. What we call pavement, he calls gold. Or what we call gold, he calls pavement. He's not moved. There's nothing and nobody in the history of this earth that has ever even scratched the surface into the opulence that God himself lives in every day. The Temple of Solomon didn't even come close. Bill Gates' home does not come close. The Taj Mahal does not come close. Trump's penthouse does not come close to the sheer abundance and opulence and majesty of where God is sitting right now. So he is not moved by the Christian that has all this, nor is he moved at the Christian that has, you know, a little bit of that. You know what I mean? What God is looking for, provide the offering of your vow. He's looking for covenant faithfulness. Come on now. And when you're walking uprightly, nothing is withheld. See, that's where we need to walk out of here tonight. Father God, you are abundant towards me. You love me. Nothing is withheld. My Lord is a sun and a shield. Grace and glory will he give, and nothing he's withholding from me. Glory to God. Nothing. See, we talk in, oh my goodness, why do we talk in terms of prosperity, in terms of money? Money has so many limits. It has so many limits. Look at Hollywood. They have all this and that, but they have no joy. Come on. Listen, you and me as individuals are richer than all of them put together. Come on. If you've received one miracle from God, you've received far more than they've ever obtained through unwealthy gains. You know what I mean? Or what I should say is unhealthy, you know, gains of finances when they try to obtain wealth through evil. Come on now. Go with me to Psalm 34. See, what if money was no longer an issue? Father God, money's no longer an issue. I'm in covenant with the God who owns all the silver and gold. He owns the animal, you know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills too. Oh my goodness, my Father God has everything. And not only that, but he wrote me into his inheritance. And that inheritance became mine when Jesus rose from the dead. So I see, prosperity is not the amount of money that you have. All right, it's the thinking. The right or wrong thinking. You know, when you have a thinking, I don't care where you are at financially. I don't care if it's high or low or whose opinions or what definition you put on it. If you are no longer led or driven by money and only led and driven by the covenant of your Father God, you are a prosperous person. And just watch and see what God will do in your life. Watch and see what he'll do for your life. Watch and see the rewards of being faithful to him. Glory to God. I mean, the things that God has done for me, my wife, and my kids, I don't mean just financially. I mean just the things that he has done in my life. And if I get talking about it, I'll get crying. And then I'll have to call Pastor Brad up, and he'll get crying too. You know? But seriously, I mean, the rewards. You know, I'm just going to tell you, I've been praying and believing 15 years for my brother. And he walked in here Sunday and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I know it's a reward of faithfulness. I'm certainly glad I didn't say, but God, my definition of prosperity is this house, this car, and this and that and this. And God would say, so be it. That would be your limit. See, I don't limit what God's going to reward me with. Come on.
This is the message, you know, that Christians are getting away from. They're making it a money issue. Would it? No.
See, the wonderful truth about the prosperity message is that it's no longer about money. The truth of the gospel is you don't have to have money to prosper. But in the realm of financial prosperity, you know, in the term of dollars and cents, you watch what God's going to do in your life.
But see, but you're not money-minded. You're just going to move. You're going to be faithful to God. You're going to follow Him, and it's going to show up. It's going to show up. Oh, it's going to show up. Why? Because He's not withholding anything. See, that Almighty God that has everything, He's on your side. He wants to give it to you. He's willing. He's not withholding. Does this make sense?
That's why I say the reason why people have money issues is because they make money the issue.
money, money, money. I mean, that's the way they talk to God. It's always in terms of money. And the thing is, the money would come if they would stop talking about money. Does that make sense? If money wasn't the affection of their heart, it would show up. But God's a good father. He's like, I can't give that to them because they love money. The body of Christ is getting this, oh, money, money, money. God, money, money, money. God, money, money, money. If the body of Christ would just put their nose to the grindstone and love God with all their heart, if they would faithfully fulfill the covenant, everything we ever needed and more, abundance would arrive. It would arrive. It's how it just sounds like Matthew 6:33. Doesn't it? We could have just got up here tonight, quoted Matthew 6:33, and gone home. And some of you are thinking, yeah, that's what we should have done. Psalm 34, look at this, verse 10. Glory to God. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Those that will seek God, what does that mean? Those that pay their covenant vows. Those that put them first. Those that make His covenant their issue and not money the issue, it'll show up. It'll show up. Go to the book of Romans. You know where I'm going with this. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans 8:32. Yeah. Don't you love this verse? See, God's not withholding anything. God says if you'll seek Him, you won't lack any good thing. So when I see Christians with good things, that makes me rejoice. Folks, I want you all to have more than anybody I can think of. You know what I mean? But it's not going to do anyone any good until we teach the character of God. We have to teach what God the Father wants most of all. When I receive something, and I know it's a blessing from God, when I receive that wonderful news on Sunday, and you say, well, what wonderful news? What'd you get? What'd you get? You get a new holiday? Get a new car? No, I got a sibling, got born into God's kingdom. And when that happened, Father, thank you. I mean, I have not been able to stop thinking about it. You know, there's going to be things that can show up like a promotion at work or an increase at work, and you just stand there and you know it was God. Father, thank you. What does it do? See, generosity from God moves your heart to thank Him. Yeah, and when we give back to Him, it's to say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father God. We never realize just how simple what God really wanted the whole time. He wants us to thank Him. He wants us to be grateful. He wants prosperity not to be the issue, but it's just simply a symbol of gratitude. You know, when something just shows up in your life, it can be even financially. You know, listen, I would love to hear. You know, I love to hear when you move into, bigger and better properties. I love to see the faithful of God get blessed. I love to hear when, something just good happened for you financially. We just rejoice at that. That's wonderful news. And what does it make us do? Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Amen. So what's prosperity about? It's about being grateful. It's about Romans 8:32. Are you ready? Here, this is for Christians. This is for us. This is talking about God's gift to us.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, a vehicle is easy for God. A home is easy for God. You know, I mean, like I said, there's nothing on this earth that has ever compared to the prosperity that we will live in when we get to heaven. Prosperity isn't just for heaven, all right? See, we have to know and understand this scripture says that those who have received the highest offering that has ever been given, the biggest offering that's ever been given was not given to God. It was given from God. All right? There's no offering you or I will ever give together that will ever compare to what God gave to us. Do you understand that? The biggest offering in the history of the universe did not come from man to God. It came from God to man. All right? And so those that have received this ultimate offering, who is that? Us. Right? God who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not we, right, also freely be given all things through him, right? All things. If God gave you Christ, what's the house? What's the car? What's the job? I mean, these are all just things that are just menial compared to what God gave us, you know, compared to what Christ did. See, the Bible says it all belongs to us. It all belongs to us. We are the recipients of the highest gift ever, and so everything else is a lesser gift. It's a lesser gift. Amen. So what does Romans 8:32 do for me? What does it do for our faith? We have it already. You know, no matter what you're believing for or what you need, guess what? God already gave you Jesus. Anything else is easy. Anything else is easy, you know. And so Romans 8:32 says money is no longer an issue. What if you lived that way? What if you thought that way? You're going to see over the next few days, you know, and then hopefully we can let this be a lifelong lesson, but you'll find yourself thinking about money. You'll find yourself wondering where money's going to come from or how you're going to do this and that. But if we would stop and have revelation from the Word, we'd say, Father, I'm in covenant with you. Money is no longer an issue. Come on. You know? We're all, you know, so many Christians are waiting around to get prosperous, and God's waiting for us to say, I am prosperous. He's given me Christ. How will he not also in him freely give me all things? Anything I need, not only things that we need, but desires that he puts in our heart. Glory to God. God is going to give you things that you never asked for. God's going to bless your life with things you didn't even know you desired. He's going to show you. He's going to search the depths of your heart. He's going to find new avenues in life that you didn't even know would refresh you. He is going to move into different places, different desires, things that were hidden in your heart, things that he prepared before the foundations of the earth, that you will walk into them, and when you get there, and you'll say, Father, I never even could have thought of this for myself. I didn't even know this would bless me. I didn't even know that this would refresh me. But Father, you are so good. You're so abundant. You own everything, and I'm in covenant with you. Hallelujah. Money is no longer an issue. Well, but I gotta do this, and I gotta... No. See, aren't we the folks that are supposed to have faith? Aren't we supposed to... We're the word of faith people. I'll tell you what, E.W. Kenyon, he said something, and this is a man that said this before the Word of Faith movement. He said, I realized once I knew who I was in Christ, if I needed anything, I just took it by faith. Because what was he saying? What he was saying was he knew that it belonged to him already. Money, what was he saying? Money is no longer my issue. It's not my pursuit. I do not chase money. If I'm faithful to God, it will chase me. You know, I just want to keep saying these things a few times and let them sink in.
Because people in the next few days, they'll start, where we got to do that. Oh wait, money is no longer an issue. If I have a need or if there's something I'm believing for, Father God, I am in covenant with you. I thank you. Yeah, amen. When you thank him, amen. When you, you know, when you are faithful to the covenant, you'll just say, Father, I thank you. I have it now. Money is no longer an issue. But let's face it, Christians don't think that way. And you can tell they don't because the only thing they're preaching on is finances. Listen, thank God for good preaching for finances. I believe we find it in the family churches. I believe it's safe. I believe it's balanced. I believe it's helpful. But all, you know, the body of Christ, it's all this. That, listen, whether you are in need of $1,000, you know, if $1,000 is a big amount of money in your mind, guess what? There's other people that $1,000 is not big in their mind. That a big amount in their mind might be several millions of dollars. They're not going to judge you, hopefully, so you don't judge them. But what's the difference to God between $1,000 and $1,000,000? Did someone answer me that question? What's the difference with God? There is none. What's the difference if, you know, oh my goodness, I'm in need of $10,000. That might be a huge amount of money in your mind. And somebody, some Christian somewhere, $10,000 is nothing to them. And they're sitting there believing God for $5 million or more. You'll understand, guess what? Money is not an issue. If you're in the plan of God, how is it harder for God to get you $5 million? If that person, if you're walking out the plan of God and the plan of God requires $5 million, guess what's going to show up? $5 million. If that person who needs $10,000 is walking in the plan of God for their life, guess what is going to show up? The $10,000 or more. You know what I mean? That person that's walking out and they come into a need, walking out God's plan and where they are at, they need that $1,000 or whatever. Guess what? If they're in the plan of God, guess what's going to show up? It's going to show up. And honestly, you know, it'll be abundant. It'll be provision. God will not allow them to lack. The question isn't, you know, what's a big number in my mind? You know what I mean? Because all of us, we could say, think of a big amount of money right now. All right, everyone do that right now. In your mind, a big amount of money. Boom. Okay? And no doubt if we went around one by one, we would all hear different amounts. Because everybody is at different places. But in God's mind, what's the difference? I hope I'm making sense here. Follow God. Get on the plan of God for your life, and it will show up. Step by step. And as you go through that plan of God, yeah, it will require more and more. But as you are faithful, you know, as you keep, you know, walking out the covenant with him, every level that you need will arrive as you are faithful. That is straight and balanced. That is the truth. Amen. Glory to God. Money is no longer an issue. I'm not going to give it the, I'm not going to honor money by worrying about it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be consumed by thinking of it all the time. Because see, when we work, whatever we worry about, that's what's leading us. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? Whatever Jesus said, you know, of course, Matthew 6, 24 and 25, he says, take no thought. You know, if you're worrying about money, money's your master. You know, whatever is causing you to worry, if it's really, you know, driving you into that place of worry and panic, well, then I tell you what, it's mastered you. But what if money was no longer an issue? I just keep saying it. I'm looking at the clock. It's not quite 8, and so I'm keeping you in those seats because I'm just keep saying, what if money was no longer an issue in your life? Boy, that would set you free. That has set you free. You know what I mean? We talk to a God. It's so amazing. We talk to God about money, to a God that owns it all. You know what I mean? We talk to an eternal God who will never need a dime or a nickel. You know what I mean? But yet, we allow it to govern our conversation with him. We allow it to
move our emotions. We allow money to, you know, push us around and to direct us. Oh, I got to do this. I can't be in church because, you know, I got to have this job. And I got to leave that job. I got to move out of town, leave my church family because I need a job. See, money's just pushing you all around in life. But what if money was no longer an issue? Then you'd be free to just do what God said to do. Amen. Did you get some help out of this? Praise the Lord. When money is no longer an issue, Father, what do you want me to give? Money is no longer an issue. I'm not sitting there dwelling on it. Father, I'll speak to you. You speak to me. And Father, I'll be generous to you. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray, and we are going to get ready to give here tonight. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father God, you are so faithful. And Father, you're so good. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory tonight. Father, we just thank you because we know you. Because, Father, we know that you don't need money in the sense that for you personally. Father, because you've given us all things in Christ, money is no longer an issue. Father, because you give grace and glory and you withhold no good thing, money is no longer an issue. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We just give you all the glory tonight. Father, we thank you. We get ready to sow good seed into good ground. And Father, we know that every time we do that, harvest is imminent. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to just simply show you that we're grateful. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. You are so faithful and so good. Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. You have ours? I think I must have left it at my desk. Glory to God. We'll make sure to get that in. Hallelujah. Did you get some help here tonight? Yeah. I want you to leave, you know, with that freedom, you know, that burden being lifted. Money is no longer an issue. That's just not an issue. If I'm, you know, if I'm in covenant with my Father God, it's just not an issue. That doesn't mean you'll never have needs. That doesn't mean there's going to be a pile of gold coins, you know, on your step when you get home tonight. I hope there is. I hope there is. You know, let's never criticize a Christian ever again for having something good. Let's not criticize for somebody that doesn't have as much as we do yet either. You know what I mean? Don't let money be an issue. Amen. If it's not an issue, it's not an issue no matter how high or how low, you know, somebody is at the moment. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give them all the praise and glory. Father, we just love you. We praise you. Father, you're faithful. Father, I command your hand a blessing upon these people tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you it's divided rightly. And Father, we thank you. Lord God, we receive the truth of it. We receive the strength of it. Father, we say we'll never be the same again after tonight. Father, we're not going to be worried about money. We're not going to be money-minded. We're going to be faithfulness-minded, covenant-minded. And then, Father, we'll watch you abundantly supply. Because, Father, that's the right order in your word. You give to us, we give to you. You're generous with us, we're generous with you. We're generous with you, you're generous with us. Because, Father, we love you, and you love us. We thank you for this great covenant that we have with you. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. You are dismissed.